Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy.
All right, all right. Welcome back to episode 15 of Something Wrong with the Podcast. It's Julian and everyone. Hey, we're back. It's just me. There's no guests, just me and my thoughts. Actually, the later part of this episode, I'm going to stitch in a bit of a live that I did last night with the good homies on the YouTube community. But the beginning of this episode is just going to be me and this microphone. And I think we're long overdue for just a solo episode. I think the topic of today's episode, I'm going to speak in depth to an extent on a recent journey that I've been on of personal growth, which has led for me to be quite recluse and off the internet lately these days. And it's funny, like the less you communicate on the timeline and the more you communicate with I'm a therapist. I have a therapist. So a round of applause for that. Woo! Crowd noise. I have done it. I found a therapist that I respect and one that has worked great with me. Mind you, we're only two sessions in to my therapy. And as all of you know, therapy isn't something where, you know, by the tenth treatment, the tenth session, you get a punch card and you're healed. It's a lifelong thing, and I, like many things I take on, I take seriously, and I'm very excited to take on this and grow just into I'm in my early 30s. I'm excited to grow throughout this entire decade and on to the next and just be a better version of myself. I have spoken to people I've been close with about this journey thus far, and I've said when in my younger years, when I was in college, I was mostly like academic focused, and I, you know, you're chasing that, what's your ceiling there? And then graduating college, and when I was teaching in Chicago, you start really looking at yourself and what you want to do and how you want to develop and how you want to be seen in the world. And I kept putting my I'd say like the other things by the wayside. So I'm trying to find the correct way to articulate this, but basically ignoring things that I know I should be working on to further my career, to further my social life or certain things in my life. I was prioritizing things other than working on myself and growing more so with my relationships with substance and with women. I continued to belabor the addressing those two things. So time is fast forward. And now I'm at a place where now's the time. And I've thought, well, what if I'd started the work years ago? I'd probably be in a better place by now. But I am a firm believer of everything happens for a reason. And when stuff happens, it's because you're ready for it to happen now. I did try therapy once when I was in Chicago. It was not great. The guy was not for me. Just didn't get it done. So I found someone here by way of a friend. And my initial conversation with him was an hour and a half, and it was amazing. I felt very comfortable, and like all good therapists, he's a great listener. And yeah, we're 2 weeks in, two sessions in. We're trying to keep a weekly schedule afloat. And it's just really changed my perspective, honestly, on how I've always liked to think that I can, if I put my mind to something, I can change the circumstances to create a better outcome. Meaning, like, I've been pretty open about my substance abuse in the past, where if I say, hey, this is getting out of control, I need to stop, I can stop it. And it's a matter of, okay, just stop doing the very thing that inflicts pain. Done. Or like the dry January I just did. Hey, I have a goal for myself, put this down and don't touch it for a month. Okay, no sips of alcohol. Done. Boom. February 1st comes around. Not going crazy, but hey, look, I did it. I accomplished something. The thing with like therapy and personal growth is there's no like titular moment where the very thing is done. There's no like, you know, fireworks. There's no, you can't gamify therapy, although I'm sure like BetterHelp and other places have certainly tried to. That being said, if you want to sponsor the show, please do. But it's intimidating because I think what excites me is I've started the journey, so that means the growth will happen. The growth is currently happening. I think this is the early stages of it, is communication, like conversations like this and other conversations I've been having with other people. But it's just, there's no goal. Well, there is a goal to be better, but there's no end. Like, there's no, you did it. You crossed the finish line. You're better. I think that comes with people around you, people that you care about, noticing different things in you. And obviously you and yourself also acknowledging and recognizing, you know, better habits, better patterns, and things that you once weren't able to do or weren't comfortable doing. And just, you know, changing growth, in short, I guess I should just say. So I went in with very good, pure intentions, and it seems to be off to a great start. I had a pretty singular focus in mind. Without getting into too much detail, Mars, more with like intimacy with partners, and just kind of like breaking bad habits when it comes to those relationships in my life. And in doing so, I've rather quickly discovered, and not to my surprise, I think surprisingly in how quickly these things have all come about, but there's a very like clear through line between all of these events and how I've kind of built up like this calloused approach to a very like, you know, significant portion of one's life. And it's kind of it's very exciting to acknowledge these things, unearth and share details or stories of things that I didn't think would relate. Like if there's three stories, A, B, and C, never thought C related to A, but somehow, you know, they have more in common than B does, even though B was more closely in the timeline of events. And my mind is just like in a completely different space. I don't seek comfort in the sense that like I when people get a cushy job or when people, you know, find the things that just make their life go on autopilot, that seems to be what makes me uncomfortable. And it has like the adverse effect. So I like how much this has challenged me. I like how much this makes me think I like am craving these therapy sessions. I'm like want to continue to do this. It truly is one of the most exciting things I've taken on in quite a while. I would say certainly this year, in terms of like it's huge moments in my life, starting this show, which in itself it was a risk that my therapist doesn't even know that I do. He has no idea. And then second would be the therapy. There's a few other things don't need to talk about, but certainly two of the biggest things I've taken on thus far this year, both with, you know, a healthy amount of fear and excitement, just to see taking risks as one should. I think it's healthy to take risks. And if you fall flat, so be it. But you don't really get to see what you're capable of or challenge yourself if you don't take a small leap. Not everything has to be the craziest thing. I'm not saying start a fucking podcast and become like a talking head, but whatever that is within your world, try it. Why not? Just don't film it. Don't do this. Just don't, whatever you're trying, don't film it. You can, and if you fail, fail in peace. And if you don't, keep doing it and keep pushing yourself, keep pressing yourself. Try to do that right now in the gym. Man, it's hard to lift weights these days. I do it. I'm still doing it, but it's just like, I can't take off the time that I used to be able to just like snap back. And now it's just like, I'm benching and I feel it. I hurt. Like it just, it's not hitting the same. Need to take some HGH. You need to get on that Rogan program. I need to get that right wing workout plan, you know? If only. Who do I have to sell my soul to for that one? Who's think Theo Vaughn is like kind of taken the, I think he's like a more like approachable, less threatening Joe Rogan. I don't know what I'm trying. Like he has like his whole public facade of just being like this, oh wow, really, like the dumb guy. I think it plays well publicly and people don't see him as serious as he should be taken. I like Theo though. I like his show. I'm not trying to talk down on Theo at all. He's a great comedian. So therapy is going, and I'm now, like most things in my life, when there's a change, I lean into music to find songs that relate directly to the changes that I'm experiencing in my life. And in doing so, this is how random my mind works. In doing so, I rediscovered the 2009 Kings of Leon album, Only By the Night, Only Be the Night. I forgot the name of the album. There's one track on it in particular. It's called Revelry. God, I love this song. So this song covers the lead singer. It's like a, it's a journey about him basically ruining a healthy relationship. He keeps failing in these relationships, admitting that the breakup is his fault, and he, it's because he's partying too hard, and he is seemingly for the first time realizes that he made a mistake, and he falls into a deep depression because of the mistake he made by letting this relationship go. And he's learning that this cycle of revelry, which is like, you know, the partying, constant drinking and chasing and drugs and chasing that high, chasing the dragon, may, although he's currently tethered to that, he's realizing that's not the relationship in which he should be giving his focus to, or the cycle that he should be falling back into. It's actually the very thing that has left him broken and downtrodden. And I do have the lyrics here. And I want to read a couple of them. Let's just start from the top, actually. So verse one, what a night for a dance. You know I'm a dancing machine. With a fire in my bones and the sweat and the sweet taste of kerosene. So dancing, night out, having a good time. Nothing too. We get it. He's setting the tone here. He's a partier. The guy likes to have fun. I get lost in the night so high I don't want to come down. To face the loss of the good thing that I have found. Boom, right into it. So, I get lost in the night, so high, I don't want to come down. This is it. Like this is what I do it for. This is my euphoric state. I'm at the top of the mountain. It's 2 a.m. The damn club closes in a couple hours, but God, man, I'm living it right now. The drugs are hitting, the lights are flashing, the music's great, everything's peaking, I feel amazing. But I don't want to face the loss of the good thing that I have found. Now we're realizing there's another side of this, there's another side of the coin. We go into the first bridge. The woohoo. Verse 2 comes around. In the dark of the night, I can hear you calling my name. With the hardest of hearts, I still feel full of pain. So the beginning, it could be interpreted in many different ways. In the dark of the night, I can hear you call. You could assume that in the dark of the night, I can hear you call my name, as if they're having, you know, intercourse, and she's saying his name while they're hooking up. You know, so they're doing something passionate. But in the back of his mind, with the hardest of hearts, I still feel full of pain. He's focused on something else. Even though he's having sex and he's doing something intimate, his mind is elsewhere, which is kind of answered by the second coupling of lines. So I drink and I smoke and I ask if you're ever around, even though it was me who drove us right in the ground. So here we go. Boom, back on the cycle. He's drowning himself in cigarettes, alcohol. And even though it was his fault that relationship ended, he still is like, yeah, come back. Like, it's my bad, dog. Like, I'm sorry, I messed up, but please, like, come back. And here comes the chorus. See, the time we shared, it was precious to me, but all the while I was dreaming of revelry. Here it is. He admits his faults. I loved every single time we had it together. You're amazing. Da da da. That whole spiel. But revelry, the streets, the drugs, the party, the alcohol, the scene. I've built up such a addiction to that high that I will self-sabotage this relationship to go back down the path of living in that broken cycle, which is makes perfect sense because guess where we pick off in verse 2? Born to run, baby, run like a stream down a mountainside. With the wind in my back, I don't ever even bat an eye. He's got to be free. All he wants to do is just go. We got the, that's such a beautiful imagery. Run, baby, run like the stream down a mountainside. We're just picturing him running downhill like water flowing down a river, down a mountainside. Wind in my back. He's even got the wind, a nice headwind. It's just everything is going. He doesn't even bat an eye. He's just hyper-focused on this high. He keeps running. He's chasing himself. Just know it was you all along who had a hold of my heart. But the demon and me were best friends from the start. That is my that's my favorite line, the last line there. So he says, just know it was you all along who had a hold of my heart. So he's saying, look, like I, this girl in the story here, I love you. You have my heart. Like there's no question that I love you. But the demon in me had a hold of me from the start. This is, I had issues prior to this relationship. And guess what? Those issues, I haven't worked on those issues. I've never addressed those issues. They've come to a head. In fact, they've actually, where in the past they may have never come to a head, they've come to a head more so now because I've met you, someone that I truly care about. And now, because of that, I'm seeing how much damage has been done to me internally. Because I've been avoiding this very situation of relationship because I've been chasing that revelry. It's so like, there's such like a beautiful and fucked up. It's like a Shakespearean story. Here we go. Back in the chorus. So the time we shared, it was precious to me all the while I was dreaming of revelry. And then here we go. By the way, love the drums, the bass line, the hook here. It's a beautiful song. So here we have the final bridge. And I told myself, boy, away you go. It rained so hard that it felt like snow. Everything came tumbling down on me. In the back of the woods, in the dark of the night, paleness of the moonlight, everything just felt so incomplete. Dreaming of revelry. He thought, he knows he's no good and he never should have been with her from the start. It sounds like it rained so hard. It sounds like this is he's crying at this point. And whatever void or whatever hole he was filling in this relationship, he was just kind of suppressing and filling back up with alcohol. And then boom, like the cycle begets itself. Like he's just going to go back to, you can honestly just play the song in a loop. That's kind of what's the journey of this song. It's a cyclical nature, which would lead us back into verse one where he says, with the night, what a night for a dance. You know, I'm a dancing machine. Now we're back on the high. We're back on square one. I bet you guys were not picturing me doing a lyrical breakdown of a 2009 record from Kings of Leon, Revelry. Chart-topping song, by the way. This song was very 29 in the UK charts. I love underrated band, underrated album. Only by the Night is the name of the album. Revelry is the name of the song. There is a very weird, concerning song on this album called 17. I made a TikTok about it only because I was listening to his album and I was like, I gotta bring some attention to this. Basically, you can guess what it is if this album's full of, like, you know, this is the Use Somebody's on this album, which is great. There's a song called Manhattan on this album, which is fantastic. Notion, Crawl, Sex on Fire, Closer. Great album. Point is, when I'm going through like certain transformational phases of my life, I kind of just like lean to lyrics and songs that speak truth to just how I'm feeling or like certain specific situations that I feel like I'm going through. And it's funny because like I don't remember, how, I don't remember if this song just came to me and it clicked and I just started saying it to myself one morning or one evening, because that's sometimes how a lot of this happens. Or if I heard this song in passing and then it triggered memories in my mind of what the song meant. And then it just kind of became, it's no bullshit. Like, it's probably my most played song in the last like 2 weeks. I listen to this damn song at the gym. It's not a workout song at all. Like, it's kind of crazy. Also, when I was on this live stream on YouTube, someone said that they are coming to MetLife sometime in July, which is pretty sick. It's staying on shows. I'm so excited. Next month, I think my parents are going to come down, which is pretty sick. I told them to. I want them to. But Boz is doing a show at the Blue Note Jazz Festival sometime in June. And then that following night, Jameson is doing a show. And I will be at both if you guys care to pull up. I plan on bringing my parents. I want to have my parents have a little industry weekend with me where they meet some of my friends, and including these artists, and just have like a fun little proper New York sceney weekend with their youngest. Which should be a good time. What else is going on in the news? I did talk about a bunch that I'm gonna stitch up at the second half of this episode. So I will just like to stay on growth and therapy. My Invisalign account is going to come back. I'm going to start writing more. I think I'm just like in that mode, which is funny because like I usually spend like the winter and fall to kind of hole up and like read and write and get introspective. But this is all happening to me in the precipice of summer. So I kind of have to just carry that into this season. Whereas before, I think this is where most people like release their inhibitions. You know, feel the rain on your skin. No, shout out Vanessa Carlton. And just kind of like go about more of a carefree, willy-nilly summer span. It's funny. I'm like texting a lot of my friends and some of them are like, yeah, like it's that time of year. Like my ex keeps texting me or like this girl that I used to date or this. Everyone's like, you know, coming back around for the summer and trying to, you know, either reconnect an old thing for an old fling or just build up some, you know, early onset version of a roster. It's funny how cyclical life is down to the not even on like the macro scale, like, you know, the in terms of the solar system spinning and like our 24-hour day clock of or like a calendar, so to speak, but down to the social life of a, you know, young working man and women in New York City. It's so funny to see, because I have so many friends, our friend group overlaps in so many different ways, and so and so from this group hooked up with this person from that group, and this person hooked up from this, and it's like every year we add like another check mark box, someone did something here with this guy, now all of a sudden they know each other, and it's like this weird web that we weave. And it just seems like every time when you think that there has been a chapter closed or like a stone left, you know, it's just something streamed down the river and you don't think you're ever going to come see it again. It somehow comes washing upon your shores and you're like, you again. Hey, it's been what, 7-8 months or, you know, 2 years in some cases. I had this like wild instance in therapy. I was talking about a show that I went to with a friend. And I was like, yeah, like I haven't seen him since went to this event, you know, and actually, I don't remember the date. And I grabbed my phone and I looked, I did this in front of my therapist. I was looking at it. I was like, yeah, it had to have been like, you know, last year, maybe. I was like, maybe a year ago. I look at my phone. The event was in 2023. I was like, this shit happened it was 2 years ago. This very thing that I thought that happened no more than a year ago. In fact, happened in twice that amount of time. Which is crazy. I mean, it's wild how everything moves so fast. And then it's like, I also, you know, you live in such a bubble, no matter where you live. And there's patterns. People have their coffee shops, their, you know, where they get their news from, their local bodega, et cetera. And you just cannot avoid. It's just you run into the same people. It's like when people are like, you go to a, I went to a small liberal arts college, but I know a lot of people that went to like a giant state school. I'm like, how'd you do that? How'd you go to college with like 40,000 people? Like, isn't that crazy? And you're like, yeah, but you only know, like, you know, you're, if you're in a Greek life, you know, your frat, or if you play a sport, you know, your sport, like, you don't know the whole campus. There's a campus at large that you have not been exposed to. And when you walk across that stage of graduation, 85% of those names you will not know, which is, it's true in the sense that even here, it's like this city, the neighborhood that I'm in, I mean, the island that I'm on, Manhattan, millions of people. I just can see, I see regularly the same grouping of people. And I'm not complaining that by any means. Well, there are some people that I don't care to ever see again. Unfortunately, they have like a decent amount of influence, not like social influence, like an influencer. I mean, in terms of like they own certain restaurants or bars, like their business is tethered into my life in some aspect. I can only avoid so many restaurants is kind of what I'm saying, or like, you know, bars, but kudos to them. Everybody deserves, you know, success or whatever, live a decent life. Actually, not, that's not true. Some of these people suck and they know that. That's the other, they know they suck. Why am I like pretending like these are good people? There's some shit slime people in this city that I got to a point where I took offense that people that I called friends were also good friends with these people. So I just said, fuck the whole crew. Like, you're done. Even though I don't like you associate with this person. I'll give you the opportunity to like say what's up, but they're like, why are you so cool? And if it's like some, you know, frivolous bullshit reason, or like, well, you know, he lets us skip the line to go into the club, or like he gives us a table. If your relationship is purely based off first entry into a club, or like a comped shitty bottle of tequila, keep the friendship, bro. You got it. That's, if you value that side of things, take it, buddy. I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna go elsewhere. Which is, I was saying, I don't know if I'm going to put this on the live stream, so I guess I'll say it here. I was talking about people that are so, just the type of people that I'm really not attracted to. I'm not even like physically, like emotionally or, you know, in a sexual way. I just mean like in a friendship way, down to really just people, period. The people that are hyper-focused and obsessed with, possessions, be like showing as if like, you know, a goods or like a physical object is their personality manifests by the bag that they have, or like the shoes that they have, or the pants or clothing, t-shirt, accessory, etc., etc. You get what I'm saying? But the people whose entire worth is constructed by, you know, the contents of their closet rather than, you know, the substance of themselves. That's been difficult. The maybe it's because I've been fortunate enough to be exposed to extreme wealth, and not my personal wealth, but people that are artists that I know, people that are good friends I know that have they're on the far end of the spectrum in terms of like success and wealth in their respective fields, and not just people in entertainment, just like regular guys at work, you know, that are high up in the corporate job. And I see how they conduct themselves, and I see how people that, you know, grew up with a lot of wealth conduct themselves. And there's just like, I don't know, there's like, it's the, you know, the old saying, like the new money versus old money in terms of just like how you conduct yourself. I've just, and this isn't even like a money thing, I guess. It's just more like just how you carry yourself. I just don't like flashy, egregious, over the top, just outward displays of just like, it's obnoxious. I can, like, good job, congrats on the success, but like, chill, dude. Just, god, man, it gets overwhelming. And it's like, and that's like a lifestyle that, this is the hole you dig yourself in, people. If you chase that lifestyle, where does it end? Because okay, so you have the hottest toy this year, but that the new toy comes out next year, and then the next year there's a newer toy. So it's like you're playing a game where there's no win. You're just burning money, and you're just chasing the next trend or the next fad, and just with the hopes of buying it so you can stay within the, you want to be within the know, within the cool scene of like, oh, those are last year's, you know, fucking whatever, Louboutins. I have the 2025s. It's like, cool, dude. We both got shoes on. Just shut up. Just eat your fucking Branzino. Like, what difference does it make? Why we got to do this game? Why does everything have to be a competition? I hate that. Oh, God, I hate the overly competitive. I know more than you about this. Good, dude. Shut up. That's such a screaming insecurity in so many people, is the guy that always feels like they need to. Oh, I can. Well, I got a story about that. Or I got it. It's, oh man, buddy. Bet you do. Jesus, dude. That's even just like talking about those kind of people just irritates me. Anyway, I don't want to focus on the negative. Point is, guys, your boy is living a different life this year, and it's all good. It's going better than I expected. Coming off a pretty significant blow at the end of last year in terms of obviously losing the spot like on the pod, having that relationship sour, no communication except Damaris. I love Damaris. We see each other sometimes. And obviously like the public fallout from that, having to worry about finances, not being able to move. I still haven't moved, by the way. I'm on a month to month here. The market, oh my geez. Ugh, I'm gonna get real local, but I think people that can relate, don't move. It sucks. It's awful. And they're doing this whole thing with broker fees in New York now where I'm pushing my move probably till June. Actually, I should email them tomorrow. I got to figure this out because the market is trash, and I guess broker fees in the city are going to go away in June. Meaning, if you're not familiar, basically when you move, so say your rent is $1,000, which is not at all true in New York. I'm just putting a round number so no one raises their eyebrows at how much rent actually is in New York. Say your rent's $1,000. And when you move into an apartment, you usually have to pay up front first and last month's rent. Standard. In New York, other cities as well, but certainly in New York, you also have to pay what's called a broker's fee, meaning you pay first and last month rent, so that's $2,000 out the window. And then you have to pay a third $1,000, so $3,000, an additional $1,000 to the person who basically just handed you the keys to the apartment. Because they were your broker. They helped you get the spot, whatever. So these fees, it's like, oh my God. And in New York just passed a law that they're getting rid of the broker fee, which was supposed to happen, I believe, in April, but has been since pushed back till June. They say this is the final time they're pushing it back. Who knows? Then I got on a call with a realtor, and all he said is, you do understand that although broker fees are going to be gone, all they're going to do is tack that on to the cost of the apartment itself. So then here's scenario B. Say you're looking at an apartment that's listed for $1,000 a month, and then including a $1,000 broker fee. Well, fine. It won't be a $1,000 a month apartment. Now it'll be, it'll be $1,200 a month. No broker's fee. So they're just tacking on the broker's fee onto the fee of the apartment itself. It's just everyone is losing money at an alarming rate. We're getting priced out of everyday items. It's become quite exhausting just living, just finding a comfortable routine financially. In this country, certainly in this city, but I'm sure across America, it is like, the thought of bringing in a family or like raising something here, the thought of just like getting a dog right now, I don't know how people, I can barely feed myself. It's such a disaster in terms of just like, how do you focus on, I mean, I started this whole episode talking about my therapies. Like, how do you focus on your growth, your personal growth, your you know, your own journey to bettering yourself, or just your career, or anything that you want to, you know, an art form or a book or any creative endeavor, when like your basic necessities are just nearly depleted on a week to week basis because you can hardly afford a damn thing. Like, a part of being in a position to grow is like knowing that at the very least, like, your, I think, just, you know, your basics, your everyday needs are met, so you can focus on yourself, so you can focus on you can't take time to reflect on old decisions you made in the better in the person you're becoming if you can't even figure out what you're supposed to eat or how you're going to feed yourself in an hour or two. It's really hard to be introspective when you can't afford a dozen eggs, you know. Really, it's brutal out here. It's not good. It's not, it's bad times. But hey, hopefully the new Pope can fix that. All right. The rest of this episode, I'm going to stitch in some fun conversations that were had during my YouTube live stream. So please enjoy. I've been seeing on the timeline, at least today and yesterday, that gorilla conversation is back. The could 100 men take out one gorilla? And someone like reposted, we had a conversation about this on the old pod that I was involved with. I was on camera, and we were actually shooting at Rory's house at that time. It was quite a while ago. But we had that conversation. I remember Maul was very adamant about the gorilla just ripping people apart and it not even being a competition. I forgot where I fell in that conversation, but I think the thought of 100 people in mass, like the thought of, like, if you've ever seen someone get jumped or if you've ever been jumped, realistically, how many people at once can swing or hit the target? You know what I mean? If you have the target here, he's surrounded by, like, say, 3 or 4 people. Well, that second layer isn't going to have the ability to hit the enemy, meaning, you know, if you're like 2-3 layers of people in, that gorilla, like, they're not gonna be able to touch the gorilla. The gorilla is gonna be able to like do his thing until those inner layers are kind of taken care of, killed. And then they would kind of work their way back out to the outer layers. Like, unless person 100 has a gun, then a person 100 isn't a threat to the gorilla because they physically can't touch the gorilla. So I think I would take the gorilla. I'm team gorilla. Let me do a poll in the chat right now. Let's do this while I ramble about why I think the gorilla would clean up, start a poll. Let's do this. Who would win? Did I cover the Pope yet? I have not. Test your drugs. No. Obviously, I'm not a religious person, but I understand what that means to quite a large subset of people, including people that I know in my family, too. But I think the conclave in itself is fascinating. I was reading some really cool statistics about the conclave. For those that don't know, what the conclave is the gathering of eligible people that could be the Pope of the cardinals. But what's cool about the conclave is, I didn't know this until I was reading an article about the whole process. I know they lock themselves at the Vatican and they have a grieving period, and then ultimately the conclave begins, and the conclave is when they decide who the new Pope is going to be. And I believe it was like of the 300 and some odd figures, like the cardinals, only 130 or so of them are eligible, because the eligibility starts at you can't be 80 years or older to become the new Pope. You have to be below 80 years old. Which is interesting, because that eliminates like a large group of the men that are in that position, which is pretty cool. I saw like there, of course, everything is a gambling opportunity. You could bet on anything. So they're looking at like the odds in the different countries, in different parts of the world, where, you know, this country is the best. I know, like, historically speaking, Italy has had, I believe, upwards of over 45%, if not 50% of the popes in the world have been from Italy. So I know they're like continuously a front runner. The Pope that just passed was the first ever from where was it, South Africa? I forgot, Pope Francis. I don't want to, damn, he just passed. I feel like I should know more about him. again, I'm not religious. I'm not pretending to be religious either. But he was a big deal in himself. And I know that he was very liberal and like he took a very nuanced approach to a lot of controversial topics, which is awesome in terms of like gay marriage, same-sex marriage. Even with the Middle East, he spoke quite often to a minister or someone that was living in Gaza. And I believe they spoke the day he passed, as recent as that. It was something that was very much a part of his life and a cause that he cared deeply about, which is awesome. So all you can hope for, and this is, I think, with presidents, with any political figure, which is why being with Trump has been so difficult, because all you hope for is to take the progress that was made with the last person in power and continue to have that as the new base and then build on that and then continue to move forward, continue to do what's better for everyone, not to, you know, marginalize people, which is why among a litany of things, why Trump has been frustrating, because in terms of the presidency, we're seeing a lot of reversals and like taking backs of like a lot of programs or policies or, you know, laws, rights that other people, not just other presidents, but other lawmakers, congressmen, senators, et cetera, have spent, you know, years getting to the point of in a position of that being the norm or the perceived norm. And now we're scaling those things back, like such as Roe v. Wade, or now we're looking at, you know, an attack on freedom of speech, which is like inherently the basis in which this country was founded on, is like, if you say something bad about this one person or this very country, that I'm now, you know, all of a sudden we have to defend at all times, at all cost, then we can actually send you back to your country or keep you in a jail in El Salvador. It's like, these are the very things that we shouldn't be doing if we're going to move forward. We're really in a regressive state right now, which is quite complicated and like difficult to comprehend. But yeah, anyway, we'll see what happens. One of the funniest tweets that came out of the NFL draft was when the Cardinals pick was in, someone screen grabbed that and tweeted, "Oh my God, we got a new Pope," which, to be able to identify that as a joke and nail that within like the very small window of time, like what, like it's like the cosmic, what are the odds that the NFL draft is happening at the same time that the conclave would be happening. So whoever, I forget what the original tweet was, but shout out to them. That was a very good tweet. All right. The poll is still going. We have 100 guys. Pause. It's back to 50. Oh, gorilla's up 52-28. Can I vote? Can I actually put them in vote? I can't vote. So none of my votes, my vote doesn't count. Well, it doesn't matter. I can't do it anyway. How long do you think this fight would last? That's good. Well, then let's ask this question. Let's bring back the gorilla thing since the poll is still going up. If we're talking gorilla, is this timed? Is this like you get 3 hours, an hour? And is it a matter of like, did the gorilla live it alive? Obviously, the gorilla dies, the whole thing ends. But if, because like 100 guys, I mean, that's a lot of people to kill in one go. Like, that's a lot. Like, if the gorilla is like, "Yo, bro, you got 2 hours to kill 100 men," I would take the 100 guys. Because then it's not so much about them killing each other. It's more about the men just surviving until the end of the allotted time, which that changes things. I don't want to change the scenario on our poll here. I know people think initially the poll is just who would win. So we're not putting time on it. But if it were timed within a reasonable amount of time, I would take at least one guy's going to survive. Nia said most men can't even fight. Well, I'm assuming if you're signing up for this experiment, you're a fighter. I wouldn't put like 100, you know, librarians or like biologists in the ring. We're making sure these are guys that are like, we're putting our best and brightest in there. We're putting our Andrew Tates in there. The guys that we fucking love and idolize. Let's do Shannon Sharp. Pause. He's done enough damage. Shannon's cooked. I mean, he's like, he might be like, I'd take 25 Shannons versus a gorilla. I'm taking 10 Shannons versus a gorilla. Unk is crazy. Shannon moves so different than anybody I've ever seen, like in media, in sports. He just 25 Shannons is feels racist. How? I was gonna say you have to put him in a home and away jersey so you could tell him apart. Shannon's fucked. Even his little screenshot that he posted from his lawyer, that's full unk mode. He did the what's nasty, what I'm reading, what I've been seeing is he met this girl, I believe, I don't want to misspeak, but fuck it, he's already cooked. I think he may have met this girl at like a Diddy function or something like that. And I believe she started going to those when she was like 17 or 18. She was young. She was very young when she started attending these events. Because we can keep it a buck, Shannon was toying with her for a few years. She's 20 years old now. So you can assume that he's been, you know, messing with her for quite some time. And also, like, I don't know how no one's talked about this. Again, I haven't been too much on the timeline. No one's talking about, maybe not a Diddy party, but at a party. A party where there shouldn't be a freaking 18, 17-year-old girl. Just because she shows her asshole doesn't mean she's an adult. That derailed my point. Oh yeah, the time of the assault, the time of the offense, was, I believe, January 2nd. The year doesn't matter. Actually, I think it was this past year, New Year's. No one's talking about that. Shannon felt he's cool enough with this girl and close enough with this girl to spend a New Year's Eve with her, going into the new year with this chick. That says a lot. That means like they had some weird, there's some relationship there. And that's the other thing. People are like, well, she was fucking with Shannon. Like, clearly, like they had a thing, which is true. But women that are in relationships, you know, that's probably where the most offensive things happen to them, because it happens with someone that they're close to. So Tiffany said they had a relationship. I believe that. And that's where a lot of guys mess up. It's never right to treat any woman like shit. But I think a lot of guys feel like, well, this is my bitch. We're in a relationship. What's she going to do? I can kind of go off on her because she's already mine. Like, that mindset is fucking terrible. But I think that's this mindset Shannon was operating from. Also, he's like double her senior in life, and he's obviously very wealthy. He had enough point of concern to want to pay her off $10 million. Clearly he fucked. Clearly he did something wrong that he didn't want to come out publicly. Not only that. I read a comment. I got to stop reading comments when I'm making a point, because it derails my train of thought. Homie's defense. He said he offered her $10 million. She said no. She wanted $50 million. And then his defense was straight up release the full tape. If you're in like hot water, I feel like your go-to to get out of that water shouldn't be like, you only released 30 seconds, release the whole 10 minutes. What? No, dude. Why are you focused on that? It's weird. Like, what? I wonder what Skip has to say about this. It's crazy. Nothing good's going to come from that. Raymond, you're right. Like, I'm side-eyeing people who bring up the age of consent. You should be, Elizabeth. It's weird. That's the other people. Like, she's legal. It's still weird, bro. You're like, you're in your four. You're fucking 45, whatever. How old Shannon is? It's weird, bro. How old is Shannon Sharp? I think he's older. He's much older than what I'm saying. I know he is. I don't feel like Googling it. He's old, bro. Like, stop. Old dudes, they get locked in this thing. It's weird. You're a fucking weirdo. And I'm not saying you deserve all this shit. Like, if you didn't do those things, then you shouldn't, you know, be held accountable for things you didn't do. But if the shoe fit, like, you're surrounding yourself with these young girls whose sole purpose is to put on lingerie, you know, cup their asshole on Instagram, and then, you know, extort people for money. You're stupid enough to fall for it. You reap what you sow, buddy. Like, you're an idiot. You're 56 years old. Thank you, Jay, for putting that in there. He's 56. I'm in my early 30s. I have learned to stay away from girls that are like 24, 23. Like, I'm already in that phase of fizzling out a certain demo just because I know there is a different set of like expectation and just like tolerance. My tolerance has fucking gone out the window when it comes to like social deficiencies and like a sense of, you know, entitlement or superiority when it comes to, you know, I was just talking to my mom about this. I don't like the girls that their identity of the women that I can't stand the most is when their identity becomes the products and the physical things that they have. Like, if your identity is like the new bag that you just got, or like, oh my God, you were at, you know, or like the concert that you were backstage for. It's like, if your identity is physical possessions and the things in which you constantly consume, I don't have any attraction to women that are like, I don't care how bad they are. They're like, she the best one out, bro. I don't care. That shit to me is, it's exhausting. Just the thought of being with a girl that cares about that stuff. And I'm not saying that's the other thing. People are like, well, if you weren't broke, I just don't value it. I'm not saying I don't appreciate those things. I think, you know, nice things are great. I like nice things. I have some nice things. I'll splurge on some stuff. I've experienced a good life. It fluctuates. It comes and goes. But that's not, my identity isn't tethered to the, you know, next drop from a brand. You know, or like, did I get the limited release? You know, I don't care. Like, I don't know. I find fulfillment in just like other normal shit, or like people like that I love, or like family. You know, yeah. What else we got here? Sorry, I'm catching up on the chat. What do you pay $25,000 for? Per cheek? What do you mean by that? What do you mean $25,000 per cheek? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, they found her account. Her both her cheeks are just available online. So what do you mean 25 per cheek? Shannon got a BBL. Yo, it is funny that like Skip and Shannon's like demise. It's like these guys are forever tethered in time. They're forever linked. Their journeys will always cross paths. You think they found consulting each other? You would imagine they both probably knew. BBL on the nose is crazy, Chauncey. That's racist. Shannon got the gorilla pack. You would think that Skip and Shannon were probably aware of each other's mishaps. And Shannon thought this is how stupid these fucking guys are. These guys are in their mid 50s, by the way. 56 years old. That's how stupid you are. This is how dumb Shannon is. He saw Skip trying to fuck a coworker and said, Skip, you're doing it all wrong, bro. You can't eat. You can't shit where you eat. Skip. So he's criticizing Skip for trying to fuck Joy Taylor. But at the same time, he's very comfortable finding an OnlyFans girl that just turned 18, 17, probably when he started talking to her, and start diddling, fiddling with that. Because it's not, I'm not fucking where I work. I'm not eating where I play. I'm not whatever they said, damn saying. Like, he thinks that because there's like a degree of separation, that he's like probably making like the mature adult decision. Yo, what did Shannon do to even warrant a payout offer of 10 million? Like, what did you do to this girl? If you had a relationship in which you swore you did, or like whatever the belief that you want to go with here is, you guys had a thing. What is a $10 million offense in your mind? I guess it's what I'm asking. What in your mind did you do that is a $10 million offense that you now need to go into, panic mode and obviously lawyer up and then figure out what the hell, how to get out of this? Being horny is crazy. I just rub one out, bro. And you'll, that number, you won't offer 10, maybe like a million. I don't know, man. Or just like find someone you love and care about. That's like, isn't that way more fulfilling? Am I crazy? Take someone seriously. I don't know. Maybe that's just like an old school concept. Tiffany said she said no and he manipulated her. I mean, yeah, like the money is kind of what makes these relationships, not kind of, the money is what makes these relationships even exist. Why else would a 56-year-old man and a 20-year-old girl know each other? Unless it's like, you know, one of his daughter's friends. The money's the only reason why she's there. So as long as the money's right, she puts up with a lot of shit. And Skip and Shannon, or in this case, Shannon, thought that he had enough money to be able to cover all the bullshit he was putting her through. Then this girl gets in touch with Tony Busby, the lawyer, the famous lawyer that was going after Jay-Z not too long ago, has a history of latching himself on to people that, you know, have not the best intentions. And then he saw an opportunity to make a quick dollar, and now he's saying 10 million is not enough, we need 50. It's in some cases it's extortion, but that's not to excuse anything Shannon did to this girl. You know what I mean? Just because Busby's a piece of shit, Shannon's also a piece of shit. They can both be pieces of shit. The timing is crazy. It is sus. If you weren't familiar, Shannon was about to sign like $100 million contract. Sure. That sucks. But guess what? You put yourself in this situation. Like, you welcomed this child into your relationship, your intimate life. Like, I don't feel sorry for you because you lost out on generational wealth because of the stupid decision you made to get physical with a kid. You're an idiot. Maybe you don't deserve $100 million because of that dumbass decision. All right, there. The poll is up. It's pinned at the top. Vote. Who would win, a gorilla or 100 guys? Very curious to see the results on this because I, time and time, each day that passes by, my faith in humanity gets lower and lower. So maybe this is the case where my faith in humanity can be restored. Maybe 100 men can knock out a gorilla. Who's to say? Also, now all of a sudden, everybody's a gorilla expert. Everybody's a... Damn, what's that white bitch's name that used to hang out with gorillas? Jane. What's her name? The gorilla girl. Damn, what's Jane Goodall? Goodall, right? Right? Jane Goodall. I believe that's her name. Now everybody's like, you know, talking as if they grew up around gorillas. Like, actually, the gorilla temperament is pretty chill. They're quite nonviolent creatures. Unless you're... Blah, blah, blah. It's like, you don't know that. You're not... Who are you? You've never even been to a zoo. You don't know a gorilla. Name one gorilla. King Kong, that's the only gorilla I know off top, and he would kill everybody. King Kong scaled the Empire State Building. I'm athletic. I can't scale put me on a rock wall with like those little web shoe, the foot, the toe shoes with the strap attached, with the rope. That's still like King, that's different. If we're talking about pure strength, then it's not a competition. You just have to talk about the logistics of actually getting to the gorilla and how many people at once can access the gorilla. And you also have to manipulate gorilla brain. Like, is this a fair one where you can bring objects? Not fair. That's not a fair one. Is this where you can bring objects? And I'm not saying weapon objects. I mean, objects such as a distraction. Like, can you bring a banana and like throw it? And maybe the gorilla is occupied with that. Or can you, you know how cats, you bring like a string or like a piece of yarn or a laser pointer, and cats are like kind of, is there an equivalent like that for a gorilla? Can you distract it while you like take out its feet or, you know, throw a rock? No objects. We're just doing raw hand and feet combat, Joe Rogan style. Yeah, I don't know. I'm nervous for the whoever goes in there first, whoever touches the gorilla first is absolutely fried. Just dead. You're done. Cooked. And that, depending on how gruesome the first kill is, I think that sets the tone for the rest of the fight. So hear me out. If the first guy goes in there and he dies, but it's like, I mean, it's never chill seeing somebody die, but like, say he died because like he got his chest kicked in and it was like internal blood damage, internal bleeding, and he just bled out internally. It's bad, but it's not like guy one goes up there and the gorilla just straight up like kicks his face and it pancakes his head. Like you're seeing just a human head look splat like a watermelon. That's a more violent, that's a scary. If I'm guy two, like if it's Squid Games, if we're numbered, if I have number two on my chest, I'm switching shirts with somebody else. I don't want to be the other watermelon in this situation. I want to be like guy at least 20, get 20 out the way to see how this shit's going to play out. And also, I mean, they shouldn't go one by one. I'm just saying whoever gets killed first, that sets the tone for how the other 99 guys are going to react. Did I see Sinners? No, I had a plan to see it last week. Hasn't happened, but I'm going this week with a friend of mine. There's a theater nearby where I live that has it on 70 millimeter. I also saw a tweet that this is the last week to see it on 70 millimeter. So I am, whether or not my friend goes, I'll be there. I'll go alone. I love going to theaters alone. That's not a problem. But yeah, I'm seeing it this week. I'm a huge fan of what Coogler's done with his movies. And also the approach he took with how he's getting paid for this film and the public reception of this film. And to be honest, I want to let everybody know, I've been very good about not getting spoilers. I haven't seen any clips from the movie. I've only seen screenshots, like clothing from like the period pieces. I haven't read any think pieces. I haven't read any reviews. Like I learned this a couple days ago, is that it's like Irish vampires. That's all I know. That's legit all I know about the movie. Some of like, you know, the cast, but I don't know anything. I don't know what happens. No spoilers. Do not spoil this for me. I'm happy to say that I don't have any spoilers. And they haven't come across my my screen, but I'm very excited to see that. And I will talk about it in detail after I see it. All right, everybody. That was episode 15 of Something Wrong with the Podcast. I love you all. Thank you so much for being a part of this journey. And I will probably do this format soon. Again, I like this. I do a little rapid fire. I'll do a little like, you know, intro, pick a topic at the top, get really deep and introspective, and then jump on a live. We'll spit the shit, talk about Glorilla and gorillas and Shanna Sharp and ski up and do all the fun stuff in the middle. I got logged out of my voicemail thing, so I got to figure out how to get back in that. So I'm not neglecting calls. I just need to figure out how to get back into my open phone. But please call the number, because once I get back in, I will get back on the phone. I love you all. Thank you so much and have a great week. Goodbye. Something wrong with the pussy.